Welcome back into Sports Talk. Halt on the training camp soundbite segment. Totally forgot about triple option that we talk about every day going into some of the top stories in sports and giving our takes. Guys, I'm going to go on to who the Saints are playing this Sunday. The 49ers, well, they got some issues of their own besides injuries. They're still in this long-going contract stalemate with their star receiver, Brandon Ayuk, and the GM, John Lynch, recently just said it's been a long, arduous, hard process, a hard journey, and they're feeling this urgency to get a deal done. We started this early, and for whatever reason, things haven't been able to get across the finish line. They've been frustrating, but the communication's still been really good with Brandon and his agent, and we're trying to figure out solutions. I'm just wondering, you know, how long is this continuing on? We've seen and heard, I guess, about a deal being in place with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Correct.
And nothing still have come across about that. I guess that's a fallback option for the Niners if they can't get the number right with Ayuk. But this has gone on for way too long.
Yeah, no kidding.
And I don't know. I just think that it's definitely troubling for the Niners, but it's nothing that they're not familiar with either. I know they had issues with Bosa. They didn't get a deal done with him for a while. And we'll have to see what happens with this going forward. But I'm curious to see it in the end, though, if Brandon Ayuk does, in fact, stay at San Francisco 49er. It doesn't feel like that, even though they feel like they keep talking about how both sides are working on a new deal.
The recent reports from the NFL Network guys were that the 49ers had a deal in place with Ayuk, but that he hadn't accepted it. So I guess they still haven't reached the number that he's looking for. But then the opposite side of it was that Pittsburgh apparently had a trade in place for him,
right,
with a potential contract ready to go for him as well. It's just a matter of if San Francisco wanted to accept it. It's such a strange situation because you're right, Steve. It really has dragged out. It's taken forever to figure out. And, you know, I had this pipe dream that he would end up in Washington with Jaden Daniels, and he would be like the wide receiver one to wide receiver two of Terry McLaurin and
Jahan Dotson.
They didn't
seem to be interested, huh?
No, I mean, it would have made a lot of sense for them, but Ayuk makes a lot of sense for a lot of teams.
Sure.
It's a matter of the money, right? Are they willing to pay a wide receiver one in this market the type of money that wide receiver ones are kind of going for at this point?
Plus,
the going rate.
You have to give up assets to acquire them first and then pay them.
Exactly. And I don't know necessarily if the 49ers are reaching quite up towards 30, right? That's probably around what Ayuk is looking for, the 30 average annual value, which is, you know, it seems crazy now. If you would have told people 5 years ago that that's what a wide receiver one is going for, they would have told you crazy. But at the same time, that's just now the going rate. You look at what happened with Justin Jefferson's contract situation, and I know that Brandon Ayuk's not that, but CD Lamb, also one of the top receivers, waiting to get paid as well. It's these top receivers know that the receiver market is booming, and they're waiting to kind of cash in. So that's what's taken so long with Ayuk, is that he's waiting, I think, for them to reach his number. And if not, maybe Pittsburgh has won a deal.
What you tossing into the triple option gumbo?
I kind of talked earlier about this. Our texter, let's see, it was 8942, had messaged about the Astros, and my Astros are really kicking butt recently, 8-game winning streak. And then, of course, they have the classic trap series against the worst team in baseball with the Chicago White Sox this weekend. So, but Spencer Arrighetti's on the mound for the Astros tonight, a former UL Raging Cajun, someone that I covered when I was working in media in Lafayette.
Nice.
And Arrighetti has been on fire recently, Steve. The last two games, 6 innings pitched and 7 innings pitched respectively. So in August, he's got a total of 13 innings pitched. And in these two starts, Steve, 7 hits allowed in 13 innings, 3 earned runs, and get this, 25 strikeouts in 13 innings pitched. Like, that is
mowing them down.
Yeah, impressive. 12 strikeouts in that first game, 13 strikeouts in that second game. I think I read a stat from Opta that he's one of the first, if not the first, rookie pitcher in MLB history to have back-to-back starts with 12 or more strikeouts. So congratulations to Spencer Arrighetti. He got off to kind of a slow start this year, but he's been heating up recently over the last few, basically since July. He's been really impressive, and it's only if the Astros could give him some run support. So they're going against Garrett Crochet of the White Sox tonight, and it just, once again, Steve, feels like a trap series where, you know, they're feeling good about themselves. They just got off an 8-game winning streak on the road, and then they're probably going to drop at least a game to the White Sox, which they shouldn't do, but that's just how it is.
That's what happened to my Yanks recently.
Exactly. So we'll have to see what happens. But with that 8-game winning streak in the Seattle Mariners, who are on a 3-game losing streak, the Astros have kind of built up a little bit of a buffer there in the AL West lead. They have a 3.5-game lead. And, you know, for a quick update, the Pittsburgh Pirates against the Seattle Mariners, as we kind of joked earlier in the hour, that it was going to be a low-scoring game. It has finally kicked off, or I guess first pitch has happened. Pittsburgh and Seattle tied at 0 apiece in the bottom of the first. Paul Skenes pitches a scoreless first inning.
Yeah, so he gave up one hit, one strikeout.
Yeah, he got into a little bit of trouble. Runners at the corners with zero outs, but he got a strikeout to end the threat.
Cullen, what you got to knock it out the park here
at
the end?
I'm swinging back over to the Pelicans. I've got a lot to throw at you, so I'll try to be quick as possible. You guys know what a rest advantage is, advantage and disadvantage. For those who don't, a rest advantage is when one team didn't play the night before, whereas the other team did. That's the disadvantage. And the Pelicans are on the ends of the spectrum on both sides. They have the lowest rest advantages going into the year with 4, not a great thing. But on the rest disadvantages, they also have the lowest at 6. Okay. So they're going to be in that situation where they're not having to do that as much, but they're also not going to get the benefit of happening to them as much as well. On the inverse, back-to-back games, last year they had, I believe, 3. This year, 16. And then their strength of schedule, 509 last year. This year, they're staring down the barrel of 518. Last year, they were 14th in the league. This year, 6.
Yeah, that's because that Wild Wild West, like we talk about, man, it's insane. So tough.
And there are so many different stretches that you just kind of look at their schedule. And we had a text as well coming in from 0766. The Pels just got Murray. Can't compare last year's matchup to this one. Different team. There's a couple teams that are like that, Steve, just across the Western Conference in general. Like Ali had mentioned with Memphis, right? Memphis was terrible last year, but they were kind of tanking because Ja missed the whole year.
Right.
So, or effectively missed the whole year. He, of course, beat the Pelicans in a couple of games, unfortunately. Meh. But if you're looking at the bottom of the West, you can kind of see some teams making strides, right? So it's a matter of if the Pelicans can keep up and not just stay in the play-in tournament, but kind of take a step towards improvement. And as we've mentioned, that top 6 seed.